Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 6, the text we read earlier on. In Matthew chapter 6, and I'd like to draw your attention to what verse 24 says. There the Bible says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." What does the Bible tell us about financial worries? Just a couple of years back, in the news, it was recorded and told to us that a financial broker, he put on his designer suit, he put on all his expensive accessories, he ordered a glass of champagne, and then he took his life. He was only 24 years old. What happened? He was suspended from his job for a moment, and he could not take the pressure, and so he took his life. You read the news today, just you do a short search on the news, you will find that in America alone, it is said that this year, there are already 12 people who were employed in the financial business who have already taken their own life, the most recent one of which was a 28-year-old financial investor. Nothing was wrong. Everything seemed well. But what happened? The pressure and the stress got to him, and then he took his own life. Now, this was only the instance of someone who was working in the financial district in America. How about those around the world? How about those who were not employed in the financial business, but still involved with money and finances? How many of these people have taken their life because of money? While we may not do and take so drastic actions as to taking of our own lives, we will realize when we think about money, how much it affects us. How many families have been destroyed and ruined because of the worries that money brings. They argue, they quarrel, they cannot decide on whether they should invest in this or invest in that. They argue on whether they should keep the money in fixed deposit or should it be just in the normal bank account so that you have the freedom to use it. Should you invest it in this insurance policy or debt policy? And then husband and wives, they would argue over things like that. The stress that the money brings to our life. This is why the Bible tells us the love of money is the root of all evil. And one of these evils is the anxiety, is the worry that money brings to our lives. You think about the loans that you have to pay. Singaporeans, by God's grace, we are privileged and we are blessed. We do not suffer from a lot of financial problems. We have a home, a roof over our head. We have food to eat. But still, we face a different kind of stress and pressure. Our houses, our cars, these are loans that we have to pay back. How many years do we have to spend paying back this loan? Then you think, how many more years do I have to work? Now I'm already 40, I'm already 50, I'm tired, I have my family. How long more do I have to work? What will happen up to my children? My children's education, my children's tuition fee, all these kind of things. And when it all adds up, the kind of pressure and stress that it places on us and on our family, it is tremendous. So how should a Christian then deal with the evils that the love of money brings? Over here in our passage, we are going to see three remedies which the Bible provides for us to dealing with financial worries and financial cares. And the first thing that we can see is found in verse 24. What the Bible tells us, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. The first remedy to financial worries and cares is you must decide whom you will serve. Who do you want to be your master? Whom do you want to consecrate and commit your life to? Do you realize that a lot of financial worries and stress are often brought upon by ourselves, by people who want to live beyond their means They do not have this. But they see others having these things. And because of the envy and the covetousness, now we want them too. So how? We start to take loans. We buy things on credits. And then as a result of these things, now we have to pay these loans back. We have to pay interest. We have to pay back the credits, the creditors. And as a result of this, these are the worries that is brought upon us. Oftentimes, financial worries and stress is as a result of our own doing. This is why we need to make sure, we have to decide, who do we want to serve? The Bible now tells us, no man can serve two masters. Let us first understand what is this master-servant relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ talks about. You notice here, he talks about serving. Right? No man can serve two masters or serve two masters. And then at the end of the verse, do you see the word again? He cannot serve God and mammon. Now, what is this master and servant relationship? This was a master-servant relationship that was very common in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because during the reign of the Roman Empire, one of the common practices was that of slavery. And so, to the people living in the days of Lord Jesus Christ, they were very familiar with the picture of slavery at home. This master and servant relationship was very common and familiar to them. A servant would be one who is a slave. And as a slave, he does not have any freedom of his own. He cannot do his own will. He has no rights of his own. He has to be obedient. He has to be loyal to his master. Whatever the master tells him to do, he would do. He would follow. He would obey. This was the master-servant relationship. It describes a total commitment, a total consecration to the master. And now, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that this master-servant relationship must be an exclusive relationship. You cannot serve two masters. The terms that the Lord Jesus Christ used here, they were absolute terms. He says, no man can serve two masters. It is impossible for you to serve two masters. And then he gave the reasons. Because you will hate the one, and then you will love the other. Or else you will hold to the one, and you will despise the other. In other words, it is impossible for a human being to consecrate himself totally to two masters. This idea is impossible, it's paradoxical. If you hold to one, you have given yourself to one master, can you still give part of yourself to another? No, you can't. This is why, having talked about how it is impossible, how this relationship is exclusive, the Lord Jesus Christ again declares, he cannot serve God and mammon. It is impossible for you to serve God and mammon. You can only serve one master. The question for us, and the question we need to ask ourselves, is who is your master? Who have you been serving? Who will you choose to serve? We come to the Lord's house once every week. We come to worship Him. We come into His house to say our prayers. We come to offer our offerings. We render our praises to Him. We listen to His word. But have we really been serving Him? Have we been really serving Him in consecrating our lives totally to Him? Do you realize that consecration of your life is not something that just takes place once a week or twice a week? It is consecration of your life every moment, every hour, every day. How often do you think upon your God? How often are you conscious of Him? How often are you interested in His will for your life? Before you enter into your next job, are you sure this is what the Lord wants you to do? Or is this out of your own selfish endeavor and pride? Have you been serving yourself? Have you been serving the world? Or have you been serving God? No man can serve two masters. This is not an option. Now, what is the other master that is described here? Here, the Lord Jesus Christ contrasted between two masters that are common to all men. He says, he cannot serve God in the last phrase. Do you all see that? He cannot serve God and mammon. Now, what is mammon? Mammon is used in the Bible to describe possessions, More specifically, it would describe the money that we have, the wealth that a person possesses. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. When a person has possessions, has wealth, has things in his life surrounding him, what will he do with these things? Oftentimes, we would place our trust in mammon. So the mammon that the Bible describes here doesn't just describe money. Yes, it describes money, but it describes anything a person would place his trust in. This is what mammon is. Why do people work so hard? When you look at the people in the world, every day when you go to work, you look at your colleagues, those who are not believers. Have you ever wondered, why do they strive so hard? Why do they strive so hard for money? Why? Is it because money makes the world go round? Because they trust in money. That is all they can place their trust in. They have to trust in money to provide for their family. Who else or what else can provide for their family? To place that meal on their tables. What can provide for them? They have to trust in money, their possessions, to give them a roof over their head. They have to trust in their possessions for their satisfactions, for their entertainment. They have to trust in their possessions for a sense of achievement. This is mammon. And the Lord Jesus Christ now tells us, choose. Will you serve God and mammon? Because you cannot serve both. If you say, I want to serve God, I have given my life completely to Him, I am a Christian, you cannot serve mammon. This is the first remedy to financial worries. You need to decide whom you will serve. I believe a lot of problems with regard to financial worries are created as a result of us not knowing whom we are serving. Why do we fret over tomorrow? Why do we worry over tomorrow? For many of us, it's not because we do not have enough. By God's grace, we have enough. For many of us, it is because we want more. It is not the need of money, but it is the lust after money that has created so much problems in our society, in our homes. Is it not so? Well, there are also some of you who may say, but I really struggle with financial difficulties. I do not want to live beyond my means. But even the little that I have, I'm already struggling with it. Well, then again, you must decide, have you been serving God or mammon? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or he will love the other. Do you have this exclusive relationship with your God, where you have given your all to Him? How you would go to work every day? You do it for the Lord. You do it with the Lord in your mind. Will you serve God? Decide whom you will serve. Now, there are some who will have genuine concerns, genuine needs. Then, what does the Bible tell us? And this is the second remedy to financial worries. Not only must we decide whom we will serve, we must know whom we are serving. We must know the character of our Master. We must know His compassion. We must know of His kindness. And this, the Bible will tell us, from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 32. And there are three things, three very important things that you can see about your Master here. Three things that are described about our God. Do you know who your Master is? So, decide whom you will serve. And then secondly, know whom you are serving. Be conscious of your Master. Know of His compassion. Know of His promises. Know of His workings in time past. Know how He continues to work today. And if you are conscious of your Master, how then will you relate to Him? How then will you relate to money? How then will you relate to others in this world? The Bible now tells us, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, know. Okay, take no thought of for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for the body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? The Bible now, if you look through these few verses, one very common word that is repeated is the word thought. You see this in verse 25. Take no thought for your life. In verse 27, you go down. The Bible again says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his statures, or his stature? And in verse 28, the Bible also says, why take ye thought for the raiment? Now you go down to verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What have we been thinking about every day? What are the thoughts that fills your mind? We are often more conscious of our needs, of our struggles, of our problems, of our worries, than we are conscious of God. This is why the first remedy, decide whom you will serve. And if you have decided, I will serve my God and Him only, now you need to be conscious of who your master is. You must know who He is. We are often taking thought, planning this and planning that. You know, there are specific things we can consider. Maybe some of us may have questions like, is it wrong to buy insurance? Is it wrong to have financial planning? Well, these things are not wrong in and of themselves. But when you plan, when you buy your insurance, do you think about your God? Do you include Him in your plans? Or are you taking thought of over the things of this life for the sake of these things in this life in itself? You know, when a person keeps thinking about something, it consumes his mind. He keeps dwelling on it. His soul is overwhelmed with it and by it. When you look at the Bible, one of the very interesting words that we see in the Bible is the word cares. The cares of this life, the cares of the world. This is the word that is used in the parable of the soil. Remember the parable of the soil? The sower, he goes out to sow his seed, and then there's the seed that fell on the good soil. Oh, sorry, the seed that fell on the hardened soil, right? The pathway that a person walks, the hardened ground, the hard ground, the seed that fell on the stony ground, and then the seed that fell on the thorny ground. And the thorny ground, the Lord Jesus Christ says, talks and represents the cares of this life, the cares of the world. You know, Apostle Peter also talked about the cares that Christians sometimes have, casting all your cares upon Him. Christians have cares. And it's very interesting, when you study the word cares in the Bible, what does it mean? It really describes distractions. That is what the word cares mean. Now, and the Bible doesn't describe the distractions in the light sense of the word. You are in a room. You are doing your work. You hear the television in the background. It distracts you. Not this kind of distraction. The Bible uses the word distraction in the real sense where it really pulls you apart. It pulls your soul. It distracts you by pulling you. There is this turmoil in your soul. The cares of this life that overwhelms you. You thinking upon it day and night, that it brings about this turmoil in your heart, this unrest, the lack of peace, the inability to sleep. How often have you gone to your bed worried over what comes tomorrow? I have not paid my bills. How? I have not paid this tuition fee. How? This kind of turmoil, it distracts us. What are we going to do about it? This is why the Bible says, take no thought. Why are we dwelling upon these things? Instead, be conscious of your master. Know who your master is. Because unlike the slaves and the master's relationship in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a good master. We have a good master. The masters in the past, there may be cruel masters, there may be dishonest masters, there may be masters who are not compassionate, but we have a good master. And here the Bible uses three things to describe our masters, our master, our heavenly father. First, you find this in verse 26. Your heavenly father feedeth them. This is the first description of our master. Second, in verse 30, the last part, he says, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Right? In fact, at the start and the beginning of this verse, you see, if God so clothe the grass of the field. So we have two descriptions of our master here. Okay, the third one, I will keep it for later, but two descriptions. God, the Father, feedeth them. And God clothe. God will clothe you. He will take care of your need. Think upon your master. Who is our master? He is a kind and compassionate master. The Lord Jesus Christ calls upon us to look upon nature. The examples that we see in creation. Look at the birds in the sky. Who feeds them? Who have been taking care of them? Is it not God? They do not labor, they do not reap, they do not gather, yet our Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are we not much better than the birds? Will not God feed us? Then he says, look at the grass of the field. Today they are here, but tomorrow they are cut down and cast into the oven. Yet you see how beautiful these flowers are. So bright in color, so fragrant in its smell. God takes care of them. God clothes them. Are we not better than they? King Solomon cannot even be compared to the grass of the field, the flowers of the field. Yet God takes care of them. How much more will he not clothe us? This highlights the compassion of our God. Our God is a loving God. Our God is a kind God. Will he put us through that which we cannot handle? Why is it that we fret and worry? Is it because we have forgotten how loving and how kind our God is? Sometimes we are afflicted with many sorrows and much care because we have forgotten our God. We have decided to serve the world. We have gone after the things of the world. And this is a consequence of our own pride. This is a consequence of our own lust. This is what we heap upon ourselves. But to those who say that I have committed and consecrated my life to the Lord, the promise of our Lord is that He is a kind and loving God. He will take care of us. Now, it is one thing for God to just feed, and it's one thing for God to clothe. But the Bible goes on to tell us, God also knows. In verse 32, the Bible here says, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Your Father knoweth your needs. Now, how wonderful it is. People around us, sometimes when we try to share with them our problems, they cannot sympathize with us. They cannot understand us. Sometimes it's not because they are unkind, but just because they cannot understand. They are not in our position. They cannot see our heart. They do not know the struggles that we go through. But our Father knoweth. How precious it is to know that someone knows. And our God knows. He knows our need, even before we ask of all these things. It is one thing to feed and to clothe, but it's another thing to know. Because how can he feed and how can he clothe, except if he knows? Yet it's also one thing to know, but not provide. But our God fulfills both. Not only does he know, he also takes care of us. Not only does he take care of us, he also knows our need. This is how wonderful our God is. Another thing that you can notice from verse 25 to 32, a common word that is repeated is Father. Do you notice how the Lord Jesus Christ shifted and changed from the word that he used in verse 24? He says, ye cannot serve God and mammon. He could have continued to say, God feedeth them. But in verse 26, he says, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Again, in verse 30, he says, yes, God clothed you. But when you go down to verse 32, he says, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Again, he could have said that God is the one who knows this thing. And it's true because God is omniscient. God knows all things. God is all-powerful. Yet, he chose to use the name Father. God is our loving Father. We have an intimate relationship with our God. Do you know who your God is? Are you conscious of Him? Do you know that He is your Father? What is the kind of relationship that the Father has with His children? It is one of love. It is one of compassion. It is one of kindness. How many times have our children made mistakes? Yet, parents still treat them with love. When you look at a baby, Sometimes they seem so innocent. The baby, they do not know what they need. You look at little children, sometimes how they demand for things. And then you look at them, you say that they are so foolish, so naive. They do not know what is good for them. They do not know what is bad for them. Don't they know that I, as their father, will take care for them? I know them better than they know themselves. I know their needs better than they know their needs. I will take care of them. I will provide for them. Those of you who are fathers, have you not experienced this in your own dealing with your children? Yet, we have a heavenly Father. A Father who is perfect. A Father who is glorious. A Father who is great. But a Father who loves. A Father who shepherds us. A Father who comforts us. A Father who encourages us. A Father who loves us. Do you know who your Master is? The first remedy, decide this day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve God or will you serve mammon? Now, second remedy, you must know. Be conscious. Be always awakened to this truth that you are serving a loving Father. How will you live your daily life if you are conscious of this truth? When you wake up in the morning, when you're conscious that God is your loving Father, how will you go through that day? When you go to work in office, people around you are being retrenched. They no longer have a job. How would you deal with this pressure and stress when you know I have a Heavenly Father? A Heavenly Father who knows. A Heavenly Father who will take care. He will work in my life. When you come back home, you are tired and drained. How would you react and respond to your family, your relationship with them, when you know you have a Heavenly Father? The stress of this day, the pressure, the struggles that I've gone through, oh, my Father knows them all. I can come home, I can entrust all things to Him, and I can rest in Him. This is the second remedy to financial worries. And then the third remedy, now the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You decide whom you will serve. You are conscious of who you are serving. Now, what must we do? Seek God first. What is it to seek God first? To seek is a word of action. To seek is a word of diligence. To seek is a word of commitment. It describes how a person would place his soul. He has set his heart to seek God first. In other words, the Bible is calling us here to seek for the greater things of the Lord Jesus Christ. To seek for the glorious things of the kingdom of God. To set our hearts on eternal things. Recently, I was reading the devotion of Reverend Koshy. If you are not aware, Reverend Koshy has been writing his daily devotions and is published on the website. I believe this was the devotion for Friday, the devotion of Reverend Koshy. And there he was talking about secular things in contrast with spiritual things. Will we seek after the glorious things of God and eternity? Or do we seek after the lesser things of this life? You know, one of the problems why we are so fretful about earthly things, so worried about earthly things, is it not because we have been seeking after these things? We have been fixing our hearts on these things? And we worry, and we are disappointed, and we are discouraged, because in our seeking for these earthly things, has it given you any satisfaction? How often have you been seeking after these earthly things, and having gotten them, you feel this sense of emptiness? How often also have you been seeking after these earthly things? And you know, and it seems like you can never achieve them. You have been seeking after this role, this position in the office. You have been seeking after a number. A number by the age of 30, by the age of 35. I must make my first million. You have been seeking after this number. And you have been so pressured, so stressful, you have given up your life, your social life, you no longer have friends, you do not relate well with your family because you have been so engrossed with these things. How often have we been seeking after these things, so consumed by it? And having gotten it, we feel that it doesn't satisfy us. And yet, in our seeking of so many of these things, we cannot find them. Do you realize that? Do you realize all the things of this earth can be taken away from you? All you're seeking after can be easily taken away from you just like that. Your house. If God were just to send a huge storm, our house will crumble and fall. Your car. Just meet an accident. You have been looking forward to buying this car, this Mercedes, this brand that you have been looking forward to, you have been saving up. Having gotten it, you have driven it for the first week. You feel so proud, a sense of achievement. You meet an accident. What next? All these things in this life can be taken away from you. Your car, your house, your money, even your relationships with people. The only thing that can never be taken away from you is your God. This is why we are so worried and we are so stressed. Because once you have gotten these earthly things, you will try to do everything you can to keep hold of it. You are afraid that the next moment it may just be taken away from you. Is this not what gave you and gives you worry every night? Even the rich are so stressed and pressurized because these things can so easily be taken away from them. And human beings, we are not easily satisfied. When we are given some, we want more and more and more. When you keep seeking after the things of this life, is this not the cause of your financial worries, of your stress and your pressure? This is why the Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek God's kingdom first. Seek as one who is a citizen of heaven. Seek as one who belongs to the King. When we think of the kingdom of God, we think of the King whom we are serving. How will you seek after your King? Are you given completely and totally to your God, to seeking after eternal things? Now, this does not mean that we have to come out of the world. This does not mean that every one of us should now enter the full-time ministry. If that happens, praise the Lord. But all of us have different callings. God may call you to this job, to do this business. God may call you to this school. And you can seek, and you must seek God first in every area that God has called you to do. But your attitude, your motives, your directions, the things that drives you would be different. How would you study in school if you are seeking God first? It may appear the same. The physical form in appearance, the textbooks that you are using as contrasted with an unbeliever or someone who is not seeking after God, the textbooks that they are using may be the same. The classes that they are attending may be the same. The teachers they are listening to may be the same. But the whole attitude, the whole motive behind studying hard would be very, very different. And do you know the effects will be so different? When a person works hard wherever God has placed him, if he is seeking after God, seeking God first, his whole mindset in his workplace, his relationship with people in his workplace, his attitude to success or failures, it would be so different as contrasted with one who is not seeking after God. In appearance, it may look the same. But behind, it is totally different. How have you been approaching your calling in this life? Have you been seeking after God in all things? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek God's kingdom first. Recognize that He is your King, the sovereign of your life. Seek after His holiness and His righteousness. Seek to honor and to please Him. There are practical things that we can do to seek God first. The amount of time that you would give to the things of God, to devotion. Do not underestimate the importance of time spent with God every morning and night. Before you go to work, before you face the spiritual warfare of each day, before you face the temptations of this world, do you seek God in the morning? Having gone through a hard day of work, having gone through spiritual battle and warfare, at the end of the day, you need to find balm for your soul. You need to find refreshment. Do you not seek God in His Word? Do you not realize the importance of our daily devotion before the Lord? Our consecration to the Lord. That is seeking God first. Seek God first through prayer. Because when you pray, you are saying, I do not depend on my own strength. I do not depend on my own wisdom. But I depend solely on God's strength and on God's wisdom. How we would then deal with financial worries would be so different. You would plan, yes, you plan for your children's education. But in all your planning, you entrust it to the Lord. And whatever happens, you know that it's in God's good hand. Because you have been consecrating your life to the Lord. You have committed yourself to Him, and you know He takes care of you. When you have lack, is this not also in God's purpose for me? Why is it that God is putting me through this struggle? I do not understand everything yet, but God knows. Does He not have a plan and purpose for me? The Bible has promised me, He is my Heavenly Father. So even when I have lack, it is out of God's wisdom. I will trust in Him. Is this the kind of attitude that we must have? The remedy. How should Christian deal with financial worries? What does the Bible say about financial worries? The remedy to it. First, you must decide whom you will serve. If you have not committed your life to God, it is no wonder we are so troubled every day. But if you have, it means that you would surrender all to Him. You will surrender your business to Him. You will surrender your success to Him. You entrust and you leave it all to Him. This is the first remedy. Second, you must know who He is. Know His nature. Know His attributes. Do not just know of His power. Yes, you must know of His power. You must know of His glory. You must know of His greatness. But you also must know of His compassion. Know of His love. Know of His kindness. Know how He has dealt with me in the past, how He has been dealing with me today, and how He will continue to deal with me in the same way, in love and kindness. Know how peaceful it would be when you rest in this knowledge. And then, how the third remedy to dealing with financial worries, seek God first. Do not seek after the things of this life, for the things of this life seek. It will disappoint you, it will discourage you, it will lead you to despair. Seek after God, seek after His kingdom, seek after eternal things. And these things can never be taken away from you. Your relationship with God will be so abundant, so wonderful. The peace that will overwhelm your soul, this quietness that you will have in your heart every day. How wonderful it is to seek after God. So let these thoughts remain with us. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, Thou art the great and mighty God. Thou art the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Thou art the one who is seated and enthroned above. Yet Thou hast looked down upon us in love. You have bestowed Your love upon us in giving Your only begotten Son for us. Oh, what a precious thought to know we have a Savior. You also have bestowed Your love upon us in taking care of us every day. Oh, how we can testify of Your workings in our life in time past and how You are still working in our lives today. Father, forgive us if the things of this earth has distracted us from Thee. The glamour and the lights and the sound has taken and drawn our attention and focus away from Thee. It is no wonder that so often we are troubled and worried. We pray that Thou will forgive us. O Lord, please draw our focus to Thee again. Help us to fix our mind upon Thee. Help our thoughts to be consumed with divine things, with glorious things, with things of Thee, our eternal God. Help us, O Lord, we pray. Some of us may have truly genuine needs and struggles of this life. We have been desiring to seek after Thee. We have been committing ourselves unto Thee. But we still face the struggles of this life. We pray that You will be merciful. Sometimes we do not understand everything that happened. But we know that You are our loving Father. All these things that happens, even though it may seem bad for the moment, we still trust in Thee, who is our God. Help us and teach us, O Lord. We thank Thee for Thy word, and may Thy word continue to comfort and strengthen us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.